Antes de comenzar el episodio de hoy, quiero compartir con todos los padres y maestros, y madres también, otro podcast que creo que les podría gustar. Se llama Cráneo, Ciencia para Niños Curiosos. Cada semana, un nuevo episodio trae lecciones fascinantes para sus pequeños del mundo de la ciencia, como dinosaurios, química, astronomía, animales, medicina y más. Personalmente, me encanta Cráneo. Es un podcast perfecto para escuchar en el carro con los niños o incluso antes de dormir. Pueden escuchar Cráneo en su plataforma de podcast favorita o a través del enlace que dejaré en la descripción de este episodio. Sabrosura, papi, que, que. Hello everyone, this is Pam de Café con Pam, the bilingual podcast that features Latine and people of the global majority who break barriers, change lives, and make the world a better place. Welcome to episode 347 of Café con Pam. Today, we have a conversation with Joe Rivera. Joe has built 3 multi-million dollar businesses in total, and 2 after he lost everything to substance abuse after building his first business. Joe is a resilience keynote speaker and resilience coach. He's also a private equity specialist, and he's won awards for the most inspiring speaker and top producing private equity specialist. Today, Joe travels around the world speaking to business owners, leaders, and entrepreneurs around the world to empower them to live in purpose and close the gap between spirituality and true wealth. Listeners, this conversation with Joe was really powerful because not only did he walk us through the journey of his sobriety, also he gave us 4 things to take action at the end of the show to make sure we begin our journey of self-discovery and utilize your resilience to make things happen for us. Y bueno, sin más, here's my conversation with Joe Rivera. A pleasure. Welcome to Café con Pam. How are you?
I'm doing great. Blessed another day. How about yourself?
I am doing well. Thank you for asking. So the first question that we always ask is, what is your heritage?
Boricua y Dominicana.
Boricua y Dominicana. How did your parents meet? Did you, and you're in New York, obviously.
Born and raised in New York. How they met, I have no idea.
They met in New York?
They met in New York, yeah.
Nice. How was it for you to grow up in New York? Did you, so you never left?
No, I haven't left yet. I'm going to leave yet out there. As up until now, I haven't left. It's in the plans though. But, I mean, growing up in New York was awesome. I mean, I wouldn't have changed that for anything else in the world. And I loved growing up in New York in the 80s and 90s. I mean, it was the vibe at that time, you know?
For sure. It still is. So tell me about your experience with college. Did your parents instill that? Is that something that you grew up hearing? Like, we're going to go to college. How was that journey?
I did grow up hearing that, I'm going to college, and I didn't do it. I dropped out, but it definitely was, yeah, go to college. I mean, that's what we grew up knowing, you know? There was no entrepreneur in my family. I broke that chain. I mean, there was success in my family, you know, but as far as entrepreneurship and not going to college, no, it wasn't even heard of.
So who planted that seed? Because it really depends on, I think, like the people surrounding you, of planting that idea of like, oh, maybe the next path is to finish high school and then go to college and then do whatever the thing is. So for you, who was that seed planter that was like, you know, maybe college is the path? How did you know college was a thing? Did your parents go to college?
Yeah, no. My biological father wasn't around. My mom definitely instilled college. My grandma, my aunts, they all went to college. And they got their degrees, and they went that route, right? It was go to college. This is the way to do it. And this is the way to be successful.
Do you have siblings?
Yeah, I have siblings.
How many?
Eight.
That's a big family. That's fun.
got a big family type. Family is definitely one of my core values, without a doubt.
Super fun. What number are you of siblings?
I'm the second oldest.
Ooh, how's that? You're the ejemplo.
Yes. I love my siblings, man. I mean, I don't know where I'd be without them. So we're all close. We're a tight
Did
family.
you feel pressure for being the oldest or like on the oldest side?
Nah, I don't think I've ever felt pressure from being the second oldest. My brother had the pressure. He's the
Yeah,
oldest.
he is the oldest for sure. Yeah, we need to ask him about that. Like 8 siblings. Ooh, that's intense to be like the oldest of all of them. Did he go to college?
No, he didn't go either.
You make the decision. Graduate high school, and you're like, well, I guess I'm gonna give this college thing a try. But you decide to have fun.
Yeah, I decided to party like a rock star instead of going to college. I mean, I literally went for one semester and partied the whole time. I partied in the parking lot, never even went to class. I tried it twice, though. I tried it twice. The first time I tried it, I partied the whole time and I dropped out within one semester. And then I went back
How
and
much time passed?
about a year later, I went back and I said, let me give this college thing another try. I got bored sitting home.
Were you working?
So here's the funny thing. When I my first job was at Pathmark. I don't know if everybody remembers Pathmark. It doesn't exist anymore. I'm definitely showing my age, but it's all good. So
What is it?
I'm 40,
What
44.
was it? What was Pathmark?
Oh, Pathmark. Pathmark was a supermarket.
Okay.
Pathmark was a supermarket. They like Stop and Shop now, whatever. So I got a job at Pathmark, and when I get there, I walk in and the supervisor tells me, hey, what's going on, Joe? Nice to meet you, blah, 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 blah. You're going to go outside and you're going to push carts. I said, no, I'm not. I'm not going to go push carts. You're not going to tell me what to do. And I walked out.
Okay.
Little did I know, I already had subconsciously that entrepreneurial mentality of not wanting to be to do, wanting to do things my way. And then I ended up going to get a job in cleaning chimney sales. And that's when I fell in love with sales. That's when I knew sales was going to be a part of my DNA. And when I went to college the second time, I went to a place called Briarcliff. I get there, there's a bunch of fancy cars in the parking lot, Mercedes, Ferraris, all the top-end cars you could think of. And I said, damn, what's going on here? Either these kids are selling drugs or their parents are buying them these cars. They're not being able to afford this car to college. I want to know what's going on. So I go to the security guard and I say, bro, what's going on here? All these fancy cars. These kids aren't affording these cars. What, tell me what the deal is.
To the security guard.
Yeah, to the security guard. So the security guard looks at me. He's like, have you ever been upstairs to the third floor? And I said, nah, I've never been up there in my life. What's up there? I'm new to the school. He's like, why don't you take a ride in the elevator or take the stairs up and go check it out? So I go in the elevator and the elevator door opens on the third floor and boom, all of a sudden I see a bunch of guys walking around, $10,000 suits, $20,000 watches on their wrist. Beautiful women sitting in desks in every corner. I said, damn, what's going on here? I want to get involved. The guy says, we're a brokerage firm. I said, what kind of brokerage firm? He said, stock brokerage firm. I said, all right, so how can I get involved? He said, you got to pass your Series 7. I said, all right, do I have to finish college? He said, no. I said, sign me up today. And
How old were
that's,
you?
I was 19 years old when I first got into the business.
Did you know anything about the stock market? Has anyone ever talked to you about it? Did you like?
The only thing I knew about the stock market was that we learned about something about it in economics, but I was too high of weed to remember what it was and wasn't paying attention at that time. So I didn't remember exactly what I learned, but I know I learned something. I knew the stock market existed.
Who introduced you to drugs?
Just happened in high school, friends that I was
Since
hanging out
high
with.
school, that's when it started.
Oh yeah. I smoked my first cigarette and my first joint at 14 years old, had my first beer at 15.
And so that's when it like all of that began, the journey of, was it an addiction?
Yeah, so I barely got through high school. I mean, I got through high school by the skin of my teeth. I didn't graduate my class on time. I had to go to summer school my senior year, and I graduated in October. I got my
Wow.
diploma. I didn't get a GED. I got my diploma, but I still had to,
Push
I
it.
put on time. Yeah, I didn't know that I had an addiction. I didn't know that, drugs was, taking control of my life at that point. I had no idea that existed.
Did anyone talk to you about it, or was that something that you kept under kind of like the rug and like, were you good at like hiding it? Like people didn't notice.
I was good at hiding it for a while. I was good at hiding it for a while until I stopped being good at it, And when I got to Wall Street is when it really took off. I mean, I literally went from Park Avenue to Park Bench. I lost everything. I even almost lost my life. I was emotionally, financially, and spiritually bankrupt.
For sure.
I had my dream job in the financial industry as a stockbroker, right? I'm 25 years old, making seven figures a year. I should feel like I'm on top of the world at this point, but seven figures a year, that wasn't good enough. I wanted more. Because I lived in a world with a belief system of never enough. I wanted eight figures or nine figures. And at this point in my life, being spiritually bankrupt, money's the only higher power that I know. I'm willing to do whatever it takes to make more money. I'm putting in late nights at the office one evening, and this dude, we called him Johnny Connect. We called him that because he had the ability to get his hands on anything you could imagine.
I
So
get
this
it.
dude, and keep in mind, we're in New York. So this guy
Right.
swears that he's part of the mafia. He sits down at my desk and he says, "Hey, Joe, you think you're a top producer now? Take this little round pill and forget about it. You're going to produce even more." Wall Street is also known as drug street. Everyone's doing some kind of drug. And I'm already smoking weed, drinking, or having some kind of mind-altering substance in my body every single day for the past 10 years at this point.
Wow.
So I said, why not?
One more.
Yeah. And that's when I got introduced to opiates.
Oof.
And that's when my battle with substance abuse took off to the next level. My mom passed away. We were extremely close, and my life went dark and became completely unmanageable. I was risking my life every single day. Damn, I overdosed twice.
During that time.
Twice. The last time, it took six cans of Narcan to bring me back to life. Six fucking cans of Narcan.
Oof.
That same night, I'm laying in the hospital bed. I wake up. I pull the EKG electrodes off my body, leave the hospital against medical advice. And then when I get outside, it's the middle of winter. I'm in a hospital gown, shivering, looking like a crackhead, like Pookie from New Jack City, because of all the opiates that were being taken out of my system.
Wow.
And the first thing that I do, I go call the dealer again to go get high.
Wow.
A week or two later, my sister invited me for a self-help event. At this event, I don't remember exactly what it was, but something clicked. I looked at my sister, she looked at me, and we both started crying. She knew exactly what I was going to say. And then the words came out. The words my family was waiting to hear for over a decade. I said, I don't want to do this, sis. I'm a shell of my true self. I'm tired of writing my obituary. I want to begin creating my legacy again. After that, I made the decision to achieve sobriety.
At that moment.
At that moment, I said, I don't want to do this anymore. And yeah, I made the decision to go get help and change my life around, you know? And my story is not unique, right? I mean, many people struggle with vices. Mine was drugs and alcohol. Someone else might be gambling, sex, shopping, overeating, whatever that vice is. It interferes with us being our true self by having us isolate, not being fully present. It creates character defects. For some, life may become unmanageable. They may lack direction. Some people lose motivation and their self-esteem. But I promise you don't have to live like that.
For
There's
sure.
a better way to live life. And I believe living in purpose closes the gap between spirituality and true wealth. You know?
For sure. Thank you for sharing. So, what happened that you lost everything? Was it because drugs and alcohol were taking over? Did you like lost control?
Yeah, all of that. Drugs and alcohol made my life completely unmanageable. You know, I'm making seven figures a year, but I'm still allowing myself to fall behind on certain bills and just living completely irresponsible, you know, and allowing the drugs and alcohol to take over. After my mom passed away, forget it. My life was completely dark. I said I'd never put a needle in my arm. I'm next thing you know, I'm putting a needle in my arm.
Oof.
Yeah, it was bad. Drugs and alcohol definitely made my life completely unmanageable, where I lost everything. I lost everything, not just financial, materialistic things. I lost who I was. I was a shell of myself. You know, I was born and raised Catholic, but along the way, I lost my way. I didn't even know what a relationship with God was.
For
I
sure.
thought it was just saying an Our Father, Hail Mary, and asking for forgiveness when necessary.
Yeah.
When I lost that spiritual peace, right? Because there's a big difference between religion and spirituality. I learned that. But when I lost any type of like that way, I mean, that's when it really went upside down and, you know, took a turn for the worse.
Totally. And you mentioned earlier that you're really tight with your family. Was there like, I mean, of course, your sister invited you to this event, but was there other types of like interventions or conversations that they had with you? Or was it that moment when your mom passed that you were like, you things went downhill? And did they, your siblings, like connect with you about it? Or you was it one of those that you fully removed yourself because it was so dark in your life?
I mean, listen, my family was trying to get me to stop for a long time. It became obvious. I was like, why are you going to tell me to stop? I'm making seven figures a year. Nobody's going to tell me what to
You
do.
don't like, yes, and you don't like people to tell you what to do.
25 years old. I'm the man at this point. You know what I mean? I think I got the world by the balls.
This happens. You decide to get sober. At this point, your business is lost. You're no longer working at the firm.
No, I was, yeah, I wasn't working.
And what do you do? So you go get help. How long does it take for you or your body to fully detox?
I mean, it's putting the drugs and alcohol down was the easy part. It was changing myself from within, making the changes on my attitude and behaviors, real changing, having that paradigm shift and changing the way I think. That's where the work came in, you know, and being able to learn the difference between spirituality and religion, and realizing that building that relationship with my higher power, I call God, someone else might call it the universe, the infinite intelligence, whatever you believe, but realizing that that relationship with God had to come first. I had to put my spirituality first in order to get my mind right, in order to change the person that I was, in order to really have that full turnaround. Without it, I wouldn't be where I am today. And today I've learned to build a relationship with God's my father, my mother, my uncle, my best friend, my everything. And when I put that spirituality first, man, the doors that open, the mountains that get moved, I mean, it's really, truly a blessing.
I love that. Tell me about that spiritual wealth that you talk about. How did you discover it or came across it and decide that that was the path forward?
Well, I realized that I couldn't do it on my own. I tried so many times. I had to realize and that there was a power greater than myself that was going to bring me to my greatness, that was going to help me get sober, that was going to help me be able to live a life beyond my wildest dreams, to be able to really make the changes that I want to make and be a different person. Right? I didn't want to be that person that was empty. I had all the money, you know, that you can imagine, making high seven figures, but there was a piece missing. And we've seen it with so many people around the world, right? For example, look at Chris Farley or Robin Williams. Robin Williams, perfect example. The guy had the world by the balls, had everything you could imagine, but he took his life.
Yeah.
Why? Because something was missing. You know, and after achieving sobriety, I was able to build another multi-million dollar pre-IPO marketing company. And even though I was crushing it and living an incredible life, something was missing. And God kept nudging at me and pulling at me, telling me that my journey is not complete and that I had a bigger purpose in life. And that's when I decided to build my coaching and speaking platform. And wow, let me tell you, there's no drug, no alcohol will ever give me that euphoric feeling that I get when I'm able to empower someone to transform their life. That's the gift that keeps on giving for me. That's where I was able to find my purpose and really connect with what I'm supposed to be doing in life and how I'm able to give back. Because I asked for so many years, Pam, I was asking when I got sober. I'm asking God, damn, bro, how do I give this back to you? I can't reciprocate what you did for me. I can't give it back to you materialistically because that's impossible, obviously, right? I can't give it back to you physically. So how do I give it back? He kept saying, just go out there and share your message with the world. Go out there and give it back. Go out there and help as many people as you can. You've been given a gift. Don't be selfish with that gift because me not giving it back, me keeping it to myself is being selfish. And that's like a slap in the face to God after everything he did for me.
Right. So, how long did it take for you to rebuild another business, and how were you resilient? Where did that resiliency come to say, I can do this without the support of the drugs and the alcohol and all the things?
That resilience comes from that connection and building that relationship with that higher source. And realizing that my past doesn't define me. You know, I'm not a victim of my circumstances and conditions. They don't control me. I control my own destiny. You know, and realizing that, shit, man, I don't have to be perfect, but I know that I'm going to progress every day. And as long as I progress, that's a win. So step by step, day by day, one day at a time to build it back, realizing that I'm a spiritual being living a human experience. I can do anything I put my mind to.
I love that. What would you say to people that, especially because the audience listeners here, majority of them come from people of the global majority, Black, Indigenous people of color, and there's a lot of conversation around the path not being so easy for people that come from underrecognized backgrounds. So to those people that are like, well, it's not that easy to just like build things up because I don't have the rich uncle or whatever that can support me, what would you say to them?
Break the chain. It's that's victim mindset. Your surroundings don't control your destiny, right? Just because your family grew up in a crack infested neighborhood and people went to jail around your whole life doesn't mean you have to end up in jail. Doesn't mean you have to end up a crackhead. Just because diabetes and high blood pressure runs in your family doesn't mean you got to eat like shit, not take care of your body, and have high blood pressure and diabetes, right? I mean, the victim mindset is what kills people. It has nothing to do with where we're brought up at. I mean, that has zero to do with. There's so many people that come out of the hood and end up being successful. Shit, I was born in Brooklyn, East New York, one of the toughest neighborhoods.
For sure.
I saw crackheads and drug dealers my whole life. I grew up around drugs, but I didn't end up a drug. I mean, I ended up, I didn't have to stay a drug addict, right? I ended up changing my life. If I could do it, anybody else could do it.
For sure. I love this. Okay, so let's take a quick coffee break and then we'll continue with your story.
Sabrosura, papi,
Joe, do you drink coffee?
I know.
You don't drink coffee?
Like once or twice a year, if that.
What?
I used to drink coffee, but it doesn't do nothing for me.
Okay. You don't need the caffeine to get energy?
No. God gives you my energy.
That. Do you have a morning ritual that you practice?
Prayer and meditation every day. Every day, start my day off with prayer, a moment of gratitude. Start it off with 1 to 3 minutes a day. And I mean, today it lasts sometimes 45 minutes to an hour. I mean, I got so much to be grateful for. My relationship with God is so much stronger than it's ever been. So there's a lot to talk about with him now, you know?
For sure. And you do this every day. Do you wake up at a certain time?
I'm up at like 4:30, 5 o'clock. I want to get to the gym too, so I got to keep that hour for God to start the day, and then after that, because I got to go work out, go take care of your body. Now you took care of your spiritual side. Go take care of the body that I gave.
Nice. What time do you go to bed?
I'm trying to get to bed by 10.
That's good.
Times. I mean, sometimes it's 11. Depends.
But you get like 7-ish hours.
Yeah, I try to get between 6 and 8 hours.
Nice. Okay. So you don't need, so no coffee, water. What's your beverage of
Oh,
choice?
I drink 6 to 8 of these a day.
Nice. Water's good. Water's good. Water's really cleansing. Okay. Well, on my end, I'm drinking my regular coffee and I added my regular powdered milk, which is not powdered half and half. It's like actually whole milk that's powdered, which is kind of like a weird thing. Because I guess like I'm used to powdered milk. This is something that I guess black and brown kids kind of like grew up with, powdered milk. Because I don't know.
So wait, what nationality are you?
I'm Mexican.
Mexican. Yeah, Latinos got like crack in their coffee. I don't know what it is, but it's like it's actually strong.
And we get a win since we're little.
It's nuts.
Yeah, like I mean, I remember being six, and get like café con leche from grandma because it's like, that's the thing that you drink when you go to grandma's house. Why not? So coffee, it is my thing. Okay, let's get back to the show. Listeners, as you know, I'm a recovering procrastinator. And because of that, I'm often building ways to getting things done. Inside the annual Manny's Pass, we get to embrace our own unique ways of achieving. Together in our weekly office hours and cafecitos, we'll find strength in our differences, accountability in our goals, and power in our voices as we heal our inner child through coaching and tapping. Your choice. Let's redefine productivity on our terms. Visit cafecompam.com/moneyspass and join us. Back to your story, Joe. So you get sober, start a whole new business, decide to start life coaching, business coaching, doing this work. Do you have any mentors or any other humans that kind of like guide you through this, or that you can look up to, that you're like, you know what, this is, or that maybe bring you into the path? Just like, I think of that security guy that was like, go upstairs and check out who owns those cars. Like those people that come across your life and kind of like give you the little guidance. Do you have those?
Yeah, I mean, of course. So after achieving sobriety, and even before, I was always into personal development. And, you know, watching Zig Ziglar and Tony Robbins of the world with Grant Cardone. So I think more of those guys being my mentor, because I dove in head first and absorbed things I was learning. I look at them more of a mentor than, I mean, you guys don't want to know the people who I looked up to growing up, but those aren't going to be the right mentors. So yeah, you know, I think the people, you know, learning everything in this personal development world is the people that I looked up to. And I said, you know what? I see how these people are helping other people and they're having an impact on people's lives. I want to do that. That's what I'm.
I love that. And so tell us what you do now.
So now I'm a resilience keynote speaker, a resilience coach. I empower business owners, leaders, and entrepreneurs around the world to overcome any type of limitations they feel that they're facing, and help them reforge their life and live in purpose while closing the gap between spirituality and true wealth.
And sometimes I think people may be unaware of a challenge. So because, you know, the rat race that we're put on in this world, just like when you were 19 years old and you were like, oh, how do I get this fancy car? And then the path was like, well, you make money and you just keep going. And so how could people identify that there's a different way to do things, that they don't have to perhaps overwork their bodies or substance abuse or whatever it is? Sometimes I feel like people may not have that awareness. You know, they're completely oblivious to the realities of the other potential options of what they can do.
It's really about a mindset shift. I mean, eventually the substances, the drugs and alcohol are going to weigh you down. You're going to get worn out. That's where burnout comes into play. You can't go and burn the candles on both ends like that. It's just, eventually, if they're going to burn out, you know, and it's not a way to live life. Mm-hmm. It might work for, you know, a couple of years. It might work. But at some point, it's going to, character defects are going to come into play. Life's going to become unmanageable. Things are going to spiral out of control. I mean, we've seen it for years. I mean, there's plenty of examples out there to see what happens to someone who relies on substances. Either they die. Their life becomes unmanageable. They'll lose everything. They'll be empty. They'll be lonely. I mean, it's just so many reasons, not so many ways of not living life, right? Compared to living life without the substances and being able to live a better life. And it's, again, it's not just drugs and alcohol. There's so many vices out there that entrepreneurs struggle with.
Mm-hmm. For sure. I mean, overworking is one.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And not taking care of your body, not taking care of your mind. I mean, those are all fall into play.
So for people that would want to start making changes, what would be the three things that you would recommend?
You got to change your routine. Discipline is another one. Practice discipline. It's just the mother of skill.
Mm-hmm.
And get your goals down.
Mm-hmm.
you gotta write your goals down, and keep it in front of you. That's how manifestation happens. You gotta see it. You gotta believe it. But I'm gonna add a fourth. I know you asked the four, a three, but I think the most important piece to making a change is having a spiritual relationship, building that spiritual component. Because without it, you're not gonna do it on your own.
For
Try
sure.
one. Not to the extent of when you do it with that spiritual connection. And spirituality isn't just about, it's not about religion. It's the complete opposite, right? It's not about the rules that are involved with spirit, with religion. It's really about building that relationship with a higher source. I call God, again, someone else might call it the universe, infinite intelligence. That's a big part of the spiritual piece. But spirituality is also about walking and living in your purpose. And when you have that spiritual piece there, and it's really working for you, man, things just start opening up. It gives you a new way of thinking, gives you a new life.
I love those four things. Thank you for sharing. So tell us all the places and spaces where people can find you.
You can go to my website with joerivera.com. You can find me on all social handles. I mean, Instagram is at with Joe Rivera, Facebook's with Joe Rivera, LinkedIn's with Joe Rivera. You can find me speaking at events.
Consistent. I love that. Great. And we're going to have all the links in the show notes. Last few questions. Do you have a remedio that you want to share with us?
A remedy I'd like to share is, man, put your trust into that higher power. I'm sorry to keep going back on spirituality, but it's such an important piece of my life, and that's the remedy of all remedies. Put that
For sure.
trust.
Trust it. Trust it. It can happen. I love that. Do you have a quote or mantra that you live by?
Yeah, I'm not a victim of my circumstances and conditions. I control my own destiny.
Love that. Do you have a productivity tip, trick, or tool that you want to share with us?
The tip is face your fears rather than running from them. Because, I mean, fear could stand for two things, right? It could be fuck everything and run, or face everything and reforge. Always face that fear, man, and really lean into faith rather than fear, right? Because they both have the same type, like meaning, right? It's believing something that's there. You can't touch it, you can't feel it, but you know it's there. Why not lean into the faith rather than the fear?
Find that spiritual connection, whatever that is for you, that can get you to keep going.
Yeah, well, the faith and believing in yourself, right?
Yeah, for sure. Indeed. Okay, so we have a few minutes. Do you want to do some rapid fires?
Yeah, let's go.
Okay. What's the biggest success you're still celebrating?
Surprise.
What's a lesson you're still learning?
Never doing drugs again.
Did you have an I made it moment?
Yeah, I made it. My I made it moment was getting on that stage and giving this gift back.
What is something you've been putting off for months?
I try to not be a procrastinator. It's so hard to answer that question, but
Good.
giving up sweets completely.
Once in a while, I guess.
but it's exactly.
Joy or peace?
Wow. Peace creates joy.
Discipline or habits?
Discipline, because habits can be bad. So you got to move the bad ones away.
They didn't think I could what, but I did.
They didn't think I could bounce back, but I could. I mean, I was told, look to the right of you, look to the left of you when I went to rehab. Only one of you are going to make it. I ended up being that one. I defy the odds every day I wake up. It's a blessing.
Nice. Give me blank and I will blank.
Give me God, and I will succeed in anything I do.
What are you willing to fail over and over?
Failure is part of success. As long as I learn from the failure, I don't mind failing over and over.
What do you want right now?
I want to continue to empower people around the world. I want to continue living and walking and living in my purpose.
What is the future?
The future is an abundant lifestyle.
If I gave you $100, what would you do with it?
Give it to somebody who needs it.
If I told you you had to spend it on yourself, what would you do with it?
I would just throw it into some investment.
For sure. Which one
In
today?
myself, investing in
Oh,
myself.
investing in yourself. If you had a magic wand, what would you fix in your business?
Unlimited clientele to be able to continue helping more and more people.
I love that. Well, Joe, thank you so much for coming to Café
Yeah, this was awesome. I loved it.
All right, listeners, that was Joe. I hope you enjoyed this conversation and you were left inspired to embark into your own journey of exploration, of self-discovery, because I think if you're feeling perhaps a little stuck in something, maybe this might be the invitation to start exploring what is it that moves you, where's your faith, and even like Joe said, your faith in yourself to make changes and to make things happen for you. Bueno, listeners, make sure to follow Café con Pam on all things podcasting, all the places and spaces where you listen to podcasts, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, etc. You can also download the Latina Podcasters Network app if you want to discover other awesome podcasts. This is my time when I ask you to drop a review, subscribe, follow, drop some stars, and or comment. All of those things help the show grow so much because it allows for discoverability and other people to find out what this is about. So I really hope that you take the time, and I thank you so much when you do, to help us continue make an impact because that's a great way to support us. And I so appreciate you taking the time. I mean, you already took the time to listen, so thank you for that too. I would love to stay connected at Café con Pam Podcast on Instagram and Facebook. CaféconPam.com, that's where you can find all the things. Café con Pam, that's where you can find show notes for this episode. You can find the various other ways to work with me. Join the Manny's Pass, of course, as you may have already heard about it. This is a great place to get unstuck. Let's work together. And this is becoming more and more of the place for first-generation women and femmes that have been told they're too much. So we can own our voice, stand in our power, get unstuck, get things done with ease so we can make it happen for us. All of that, you can find it under Manny's Pass. Sorry, under cafecompam.com. All right, listeners, thank you so, so much for being here. I am going to give you an update, a life update perhaps. Don't forget to subscribe on YouTube as well. That's perhaps where I will be doing this. So stay tuned for more. Y como siempre, stay shining.
Sabrosura pa' ti que.